Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
And coming up next on Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live, we'll talk about how do you lose your firearms rights? You'd be surprised. Stay tuned.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean. Call in with your firearms-related questions. Penny, how are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm having a blast, as always.
Oh, good. The legislature giving you plenty to do, and, you know.
Well, I just love how the governor decides he's not going to sign a law that passed the Senate unanimously and passed the House by a vote of 340-9. You know, I just love it. It's like, what's he thinking?
You know what? I wonder if they can override his veto with those numbers.
Well, he didn't veto it. He just says, I'm not going to sign this, so it goes in the law anyway. So, good.
Oh, that's fine. Better yet.
Yes, I like when it works out that way.
Solves that problem.
That'll help you as a businesswoman yourself. It's the reasonable compensation law.
Oh, wow.
Shifts the burden of proof back to the DRA.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever you declare is reasonable compensation and DRA says, well, we're going to challenge this. We think you made too much money. You can turn right around and say to them, prove it.
I love it.
Instead of you having to prove it. They have to prove it.
That's a better way. And let's hope that the hearings officers actually remember who has the burden.
Well, I hope the people remember that so they can assert their rights and just say, boom, back at you.
Yeah. No, that's... What can you say? It just, like, never ends.
That's right. Well, this segment of Second Amendment Tuesdays is brought to you by Riley's Sports Shop in Hooksett. They're located on the DW Highway, rileysguns.com. Check them out. Beautiful store, great store, lots of great stuff in stock as well. But, Penny, you know, we always talk about our firearms rights and, you know, how to exercise them and the like. And, you know, I don't think we talk enough about how we lose them, do we?
We don't. And it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And what's worse is the misconceptions out there. And the misconceptions out there are even among lawyers and educated people. And I have people tell me all the time, oh, no. You know, I only had a misdemeanor, so you only have to have a felony to lose your firearm rights. And I just go, I kind of disagree with that statement.
Well, I thought the same thing, too, that if you had a felony, then you can't own firearms. But then I've seen one or two cases where having a misdemeanor can cause, well, quite a hassle.
Right. In New Hampshire, we're unique. Here's what I tell people is that you have to comply with federal law, state law, and in some instances, local law. Now, in New Hampshire, we don't have to worry about local law because we have a law that provides for statewide preemption. But in some areas, they have to comply with local or municipal law as well, so it's very, very confusing. Now, New Hampshire has a state law on point, which is very interesting, that says the only felonies that count, if you will, for our purposes, are felonies against the person or property of another.
Okay.
Now, however, federal law doesn't really care what New Hampshire law says. And they say felonies are felonies. But they also have a provision that basically says that we are going to look to the state law, if it's a state law crime, to determine what the state would do. So it's really an interesting dilemma, and we won't get into that today.
So if it's not a felony under federal law, it could be a felony under state law, which would preclude you from owning firearms.
It absolutely could. And okay. Most felonies that preclude people from firearms ownership are state law felonies. But New Hampshire has a little provision that basically says it needs to be a felony against the person or property of another.
Okay.
Okay, which is a very interesting and confusing thing.
So if you have a felony for kiting checks or something, you know,
yeah,
writing bad checks, that may not necessarily preclude you from owning firearms.
According to state law.
Okay.
According to state law, which is a very, very interesting, and what I call, it's like a, what they call a plumber's nightmare. You have all these pipes running everywhere, and someone's like trying to trace the pipes, and we're like, where do they go? But the easier thing to start with to get people along the path to thinking about how this works is misdemeanors. And here's what I tell people. Anyone who says, well, I only have a misdemeanor, my answer is there's a million reasons you want to file a petition to annul that. Now, in New Hampshire, we allow annulment, okay, which is basically a legal fiction, which means if you get a conviction annulled in New Hampshire, then we have a legal fiction that you can say on certain forms, and this is another place where people get into trouble, on certain forms that you never were arrested or never convicted, even though you were, if you will, in reality. Now, the issue where a lot of people get in trouble is, okay, let's say they even had a felony, where they now get to say on a 4473 null, let's say they've had a felony annulled, they can now own firearms again, they fill out a form 4473, and on the part where they ask you if you had an annulment, or I mean a felony, you can legally mark no, because you've had it annulled.
Now, the form 4473, this is the form you fill out when you're purchasing a firearm.
Absolutely. Okay. If you go to any gun store, it's that little yellow form you fill out the front, and you sign the back and date it.
Mm-hmm.
And that form is very, very important. And there's a part on there that has an optional Social Security number. And I always tell people, whenever there's an option, the answer is no. Why would you put your Social Security number in there?
Right.
The other thing to tell people is remember the what I call the five-day rule. If you buy two handguns within 5 days of each other, there's a separate federal form filled out and sent to the New Hampshire State Police.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, if you're going to buy two handguns, buy them 8 days apart, buy them 10 days apart. Why in the world would you want to have a federal form filled out? And that federal form tells the make, model, serial number, the firearms, and everything. Why would you want the state police to have that and the feds to have that?
So this would also include if you're buying two handguns on the same day?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Two handguns on the same day, two handguns in the same 5 business days, two handguns, absolutely. And the bottom line is, I mean, nobody wants to wait. When I've got money, you know, in my pocket to get two new guns, I want them right now, right?
I have to spend it quick, 'cause otherwise my truck gives me trouble, and then I have to spend the money on that.
Isn't it true? It's like the minute you have two extra spare dollars, something in your house or vehicle knows it, and they go, mm-hmm. we're going to break and take your money and more.
Yes. You know, we're not...
That's exactly it. And so the bottom line is that you don't want to do that, but that's just a side note. But getting back to getting petitions annulled, and here's what I tell people. There's three terms that are used out there. There's annulled, expungement, and sealing. And each state has... Most states have some form of one of those processes, but here's the very scary thing for people that move from state to state. Those terms do not mean the same thing in every state. For example, in some states, something can be sealed so they can't look at it, but the legal disability still remains, so you still have a conviction for X. The information is just sealed, so it takes a higher level of, if you will, security for someone to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this matters to people is I tell people years ago when there was quote-unquote domestic violence or trouble between husband and wife or argument where the neighbors called the police, there are a lot of times where in those days they'd charge the husband, they'd give him a $25 ticket, say you've got a domestic violence misdemeanor conviction, pay a $25 fee and you go on your way, right?
Right.
Nobody thought anything about it. So 20 years later they say now you can't own guns, and these guys are like, wait a minute. At the time, I paid a $25 fine. No one told me I wouldn't be able to own guns later. And the bottom line was that was what happened. They changed the results. They changed, if you will, the penalty and punishment for a crime, for example, such as domestic violence misdemeanor. So I tell people the laws change all the time, and so the misdemeanor that you have now, 5, 10, or 15, 20 years from now, may bar you from owning guns.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because whoever thought that 20 years ago when you and your wife got in a yelling match, now, in theory, under federal law, the domestic violence misdemeanor has several components that it should have had in it, the threat of violence and all sorts of things. But as a practical matter, okay, no one cared about the elements and no one cared about what was written at the time because there was no consequences to the person. And so getting those changed or corrected after the fact is very, very expensive. The other misnomer that people have is there are many, many states whereby you can receive more than 2 years jail time for a misdemeanor. And there's a federal law that basically says if you could have received more than 2 years for a state court misdemeanor, you are barred from firearms ownership.
Yeah, and there's two key words in there. Could have. Not necessarily that you did get, but you could have gotten because of the charges that you were facing.
That's exactly the most important thing, and I'm glad you brought up that point. Because all the time people say, oh, no, I didn't go to jail. I paid a $10 fine. And I say, that doesn't matter. It matters what you could have received.
Ugh.
And people just say, this can't be right. I've had guys go, no, 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 I paid a $50 fine. It can't be a felony. And I'll go, oh, but it was. But it was. I have the little piece of paper in front of me. And people will just be shocked. And so I tell people that if ever, ever you're dealing with the court system, or if you're one of those people, and there's a million of you out there, and you know who you are, when you're 18, 19, or 20, you had a bad day, or maybe it was a good day, and you got yourself in a little bit of trouble, and you got hauled into the local court, and at the time they said, look, he's a good kid, he had a bad night, charge him a few bucks and he'll go on his way. You need to be sure what it actually is that you're convicted of. Because you'd be surprised the amount of people that really don't understand what their conviction is for, how they got it, and what the implications are.
Penny, I have sat in courtrooms to observe a lot of cases that go through, and it's just interesting to see, when especially when there's a plea deal being made, and the judge will say to the defendant, do you understand the charges? Do you understand the consequences of your plea? Do you understand this? And they go, uh-huh, probably without even realizing. It's like people who sign mortgages, right? You know, they sign those pile of papers. They have no idea what they're signing, but they're saying that they do understand that.
That's exactly right. I have, in many instances, reviewed contracts for individuals who have signed, you know, contracts, portions of mortgages, portions of a million things. And I'll tell you what right now is that people, I literally say, my client's not signing anything on day of closing because there may be other commercial agreements involved. I go, you're faxing us everything 2 days in advance, 1 day in advance. So my client, in clear, calm reflection, can go through and review everything they're expected to sign. Because you're exactly right. Nobody wants to take the time. And my answer is, if you're signing a mortgage, tell them you want them a day in advance, or tell them, put me in a room for an hour or two so I can read them, and then I'll determine whether or not I'm going to sign these.
It drives them nuts when you do that.
You're right.
Kendra will tell you, when we signed our papers, I read everything. And she's like, you can see the other people at the table cringing. This is, we're going to be here all day. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm the one signing a 30-year commitment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, I'm the one signing a 30-year commitment. And if you guys didn't want to give them to me in advance, then I guess everybody's going to wait. And people in a room full of people sometimes feel pressured and read more quickly than they would in a room by themselves and quiet with pen and paper where you can highlight.
That's true, too.
You know, yeah, and look over the things, because that, like you said, that is the largest investment for most people is their home.
Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. And so you're exactly right. And so people sometimes when they go to court, the other thing is, and I found this happened, a lot of very good lawyers do not understand annulment, expungement, and sealing. They just don't. They don't have a practical, basically, basis for how this stuff works. So, for example, in New Hampshire, and this has happened to my clients so many times I can't count it, in New Hampshire, if you get a conviction annulled or even an arrest annulled, okay, the court grants an annulment, what happens is the court clerk faxes over that annulment to the New Hampshire State Police, who then enters it in the system. Well, what happens all the time, think about it, a court clerk's busier than heck. She's got 50 papers for the day. Mm-hmm. She faxes something over to the state police. How many times have you had a fax have one or two pages stick together or something?
Oh, yes. That's why I feed mine in one sheet at a time. Not everybody can do that, I understand.
That's exactly right. But some people put a whole stack in, walk away, punch a number, walk away from the fax.
Uh-huh.
You don't know how many times I've had clients with petitions annulled that we go check with the state police later, and they go, that's not annulled. And we go, yes, it is. We have it from the clerk. They're like, well, the clerk's going to have to fax it over again. So we call the court clerk. You know, and you go through this process. And I tell people that if you do get an annulment done, at least in New Hampshire, the first thing you need to do after it's been annulled is run another criminal record check on yourself through the state police to make sure it's actually been entered and annulled.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when it gets faxed over to the state police, someone at the state police has to correctly and completely enter it in a computer. And we all know computers never make mistakes, right? Then there's never a problem, never a glitch, never nothing, right? Yeah. And so, and the bottom line is that Sally Lou, you know, a human being, is in the middle of an annulment, picks up a phone call, you know, goes back and forgets where they're at. And the other thing that's very important for people to know, at least in New Hampshire, and every state is different. In New Hampshire, under state forms, you can, after something is annulled, say everywhere, in most instances, I've never been arrested, never been convicted. However, and this is the thing that gets people in a lot of trouble, a 4473 is a federal form. It's a yellow form you have to fill out at the gun store before they let you buy a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd think, okay, that's a federal form, and I'm allowed to say, no, I was never arrested, and all these things, no, if you get a New Hampshire annulment. However, what if you're applying for a federal job? There's all sorts of federal forms you fill out. They do not recognize the New Hampshire annulment. So you have to disclose that you've been arrested and that you've been charged, because if you don't, that's a federal crime. And so a lot of people get in, really good people, get in really big trouble, because what they do is, oh, my lawyer told me I can say, no, I've never been arrested. Oh, my lawyer told me that this is like it never occurred. Well, that's what I call half of the story. The other half is that you can in certain instances, but you have to be very, very careful. If there's ever a question, I always tell people to check with your attorney, because the bottom line is you may not be able to say, and in most instances you are not able to say on a federal form, that you were never arrested and never charged.
Gotcha. 1-866-823-1077. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Bulldog Live with Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. They're located on the DW Highway, Riley'sGuns.com, and also 485-5000. But Penny, I think one of the key points, if I want to back up to something real quick, and that is when people are doing a plea deal, or anything, going into any, even for a misdemeanor, as you say, even if the consequences don't look like they're going to be much today, you have to think 10, 15 years from now when laws change and when they, you know, incorporate more of these things into exclusions of certain rights. This is why people need to have a lawyer. Absolutely. I mean, whether they can afford one or not, they've got to have a lawyer.
I tell people that all the time, because, like, in my line of work, I tell people, do I like shelling out a check? I shelled out a big check to an endodontist the other day because I needed a root canal done even at a higher level than my dentist could do. And fortunately, my dentist was smart enough to know what he didn't know, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And he said, you know what, this tooth is just too difficult for me and there's a problem here. You need to go to someone better, or I shouldn't say better, but more specialized than me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people really need to do, is I tell them all the time, is that they might have had a very good lawyer, but there are lawyers in different fields. For example, if you call me about bankruptcy, you know what I'd say? It's filed in federal court. That's all I know. You know, I know nothing. You know, that's not my area of practice, if you will. And so many people, even good criminal lawyers, don't understand some of the provisions of federal versus state law when it comes to firearms. And the other thing that I see people do, which is just a tragedy to me, is people will say, you know, I had a misdemeanor when I was younger, I got in trouble once, but it's been long enough, and I'm just going to fill out the 4473 at the gun store to see if I can purchase a firearm. That is absolutely the worst thing they could do. If there's ever a question, I tell people, if you've ever been involved with the police, ever went to court, ever went to anything, if there's ever a question, do not fill out that 4473 and just see, because that in itself, if you're not allowed to purchase a firearm, is crime.
Mm.
And people get into, crime. And then, by golly.
Okay.
And so I tell people, you know, that first you need to talk to a lawyer, you need to get your criminal record, you need to make sure, well, no one wants to spend that money and spend that time. And I tell them it's really smart upfront insurance money, if you will, because if you're good to go, you're going to know that. But they think, if they say no, then I just won't buy the firearm. And my answer is, there'll be men behind you with those little blue uniforms and bracelets.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of time. And I've had people call me and say, it's been a month or two. And I go, look, they're busier than crap at every law enforcement office, okay? I said, so they're going to get you. It might not be today or tomorrow. It'll be 6 months. But they're going to come get you.
They don't forget.
Yeah, they don't forget.
It's like people who default on their student loans and then find out when they finally get old enough to collect Social Security benefits. It's like, no, we're going to garnish your Social Security checks because of the student loans that you defaulted on. Yeah, like those don't go away either. Well, Penny Dean, I've got to run here. Thank you very much for joining us. How do people get in touch with you with any further questions relating to what we just talked about today?
230-9999.
All right. And penny@pennydean.com is the email address. Thank you very much. Good chatting with you again, as always.
You too. Thank you.
All right. We'll do it again next week.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live. Again, Second Amendment Tuesdays brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can visit them online at rileysguns.com, and you can also visit them at their location. Now, they're located at 1575 Hooksett Road, if you're going to punch that in on your GPS. And you can call them at 485-5000. Thank you again for them making Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean possible here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.